Lord, now as we look to your word, we pray that you would open up your word to us from the Gospel of John. In Jesus' name, amen. I think I'm a better teacher than preacher, so I brought some visual aids here. Maybe it's because I'm a slow learner. I was kind of did some of the remedial stuff when I was a kid in school. And if I can see something, I can learn it a little better. I was asked if I would come, and I was told you're going through the Gospel of John, which I love. I knew very little about the Gospel of John until I had to teach it in Bible school. And I was asked if I would teach on that phrase, behold the Lamb of God. And I would love to do that. So behold the Lamb of God. Well, let me just back up a little bit. The word lamb is found 100 times in the Bible. I thought, isn't that remarkable? An even 100. How is that? And most of it is in the Old Testament. I was going to draw a timeline, but maybe I'll leave it. Just say this is creation, and this is the great white throne judgment. So from creation to today is roughly 4,000 years, and then 2,000 years later, let's say that's this mark here, where we live today, there's going to be a 1,000-year millennium, and then the great white throne judgment. But through, it's just interesting, in the first 2,000 years of history, so the Lord had instituted lambs, and you'll see I have this in lowercase letters, and that's intentional. We have three things here. The lamb as a type of Christ, like picturing the Lamb of God that would come. And then the true lamb, these just covered sins for a season. And the lambs were slain all the way from the first family, because the Bible said that Abel took from the flock. Cain took from vegetation, but Abel took from the flock. So it was a lamb that he took. So right from the start, all the way through, there was the blood of lambs that were spilled. We know that they cannot take away sin. Hebrews tells us that. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So what did these lambs do then? It was like when I was a counselor in Bible camp. You know, you're in a hurry and the kids are always trying to control the kids and stuff. And quickly make your bed and hang that up. And we're because the cabin check's going to happen very soon. And you sweep the floor like this. And you go over to the doormat and kind of just put it under there and cover it up. You ever done something like that? Maybe in your own house even? That's kind of what this was. It covered it up temporarily, but it did not take it away. It was only when Christ came and died on the cross, it's like then he went over here, gathered this all up, and did away with it forever. For the ones that would repent and believe, those ones, those sins are dealt with forever. So people have been sacrificing lambs all through the millennia here until Jesus Christ came. And then in John chapter 1, John the Baptist, not John the Apostle, but John the Baptist, noticed Jesus coming and he says, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. It's not just, look over there, there's a lamb there. No, it's behold. It's like, take it all in. Let it sink in. The full impact, the full import. This is the one. These couldn't do anything. This is the one that can take away the sins of the world. That's why I put it in capitalized letters. It's like, behold, the Lamb, capitalized. This is the one that can take away sin. So why don't we just, and then he is coming triumphant. He's coming back again, his second coming, and he will reign supreme. And all the foolishness of man will be very apparent to all of those who rejected the Lord and his ways. Then who will the fool be? Oh, to be ready when he comes again. I'd like to look at these three at this time. So let's begin by going to Genesis 22. Genesis chapter 22. Please look at it with me. Genesis 22. We'll start at verse 1. So Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said to him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac. Interesting, eh? God the Father would one day take his only son and offer him as an offering. This preshadows that, foreshadows that. Take here, son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. By the way, when I was a single person, I learned from somebody in the gospel halls that this is the first time that love is in the Bible. Years ago, I learned that. This is the first mention of love in the Bible. And the second one is when Isaac was loving Rebecca. That is the second time in the Bible. Turning the page in my Bible to verse 7. Well, no, let's just finish that verse. Take thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering. So it has to be an offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. That's where this sacrifice, this offering was to be made. Over here, 2,000 years from creation, right here. 2,000 years, that's where that offering was to be done. Abram offered his son Isaac. But when the true Lamb of God came, it would be on the same mountain from the Holy Father to a Holy Son, offering him for our sins, not for his, for ours. If we jump down to verse 7, Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold, the fire in the wood, like I see that, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb. And what happened? Let's just read it. So they went, both of them together. Verse 9, they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar, laid the wood in order, bound his son Isaac on it, and laid him on the altar of wood. And Abram stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called to him out of heaven and said, Abram, Abram! And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For I know now that thou fearest God. This is the first mention of another thing. This is the first mention of fearing God in the Bible. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. There needed to be an offering. It had to be substitutionary, vicarious, in the stead of. So I look at it like this. Isaac gets off, the ram gets on. It was a trade. It was supposed to be Isaac, but there was a substitutionary thing there. It should have been me dying on the cross. God said, I'll take your sin. You can take my righteousness. I will impute it to your account. That's the greatest deal ever. We hear of all kinds of bargains and deals. To me, this is the biggest deal that ever was and ever will be. That. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. Verse 3. So Exodus 12, verse 3. Speak ye to all the congregation of Israel in the 10th day of this month. They shall take to every man a lamb. I can't go on my mom's salvation or my dad's salvation. Each one for himself. Every man a lamb. Look at verse 5. And your lamb shall be without blemish. We'll just do it like this. Without blemish. What does that mean? I've been a farmer. I had livestock. What this means is I don't give God the one that's limping. Say, well, he won't make me much. I'll just sell that one off. No, without blemish. Can't have a oozing sore, right? Has to be without blemish. It has to be perfect. Foreshadowing Jesus, who is perfect, not in just in his body, but sinless in his nature, in his character. Without blemish. And then verse 5 says, a male had to be a male. And I like what it says in Timothy. For there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. He's a male. He's a male. And then the third thing there in verse 5, of the first year. Year. That's what it had to be. Turn with me to Isaiah 53, verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. I've sung some of this chapter to you before. And the next verse after that song is verse 7. Isaiah 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. They whipped him. They put the crown of thorns on his head. They spat upon him. They stripped him of his clothes. They whipped him. Yet he opened not his mouth. This was prophecy. This is predicted 740 years before it actually happened. So way prior to the cross. Why don't we just put the cross on here? So let's just say that this is the cross and this is where we are. This was predicted about here, 740 years before the cross, that this would be happening. He is brought as a lamb. How? To the slaughter. We slaughter lambs. And as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Oh, wrong color. He answered nothing. The the types, this is prefigured the ultimate, the Lamb, which takes away the sin of the world. These don't take away sin. Now let's go to today's text, which is John chapter 1, verse 29 and verse 36. They're a little bit different, those verses. The first one says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And the next one says, "Behold the Lamb of God." The second one refers to his person. The first one refers to his work. We often hear of the person and work of Christ. They're both there in John chapter 1. And it's interesting, of these names in the Gospel of John, like in chapter 1, My first assignment to my students was this. Go to the Gospel of John and mark down every title for Jesus that can only be true of deity. So, for example, and then bring them back to class. So in the very first one, in the first verse, it's "In the beginning was the Word." He was called the Word. I couldn't call Timothy the Word. I couldn't call my son Andrew the Word, because they're not the Word of God. "In the Word was God." I couldn't call Timothy God or Andrew God, but Jesus could carry that title. And there's a whole list of those, like "only begotten Son," or "the Son of God," or "Jesus." Jesus means "for he shall save his people from their sin," it tells us in Matthew. Can Timothy save people from their sin? No. Can Andrew? But could Jesus? Yeah. Okay, he gets that title. And there's just a whole bunch of these. Son of God, Messiah, Lamb of God. And there's just a whole list of these that can only be true of this person, the second person of the Trinity. I find the Gospel of John just fascinating in that regard. I've put purple boxes in my Bible around each of these titles that can only be true of this person, not of any other male on the earth that ever was born or will be born. He holds the titles. Let's look for some verses to see if these are fulfilled in the Lamb of God. You don't need to look this one up. I'll just read it to you. In Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, Evelyn, why don't you come help me? come right. Then I'm not wasting time. She had a plan for me this morning, about maybe 20 minutes ago. She said, "John, why don't you write everything on there and then put a piece of brown paper there and then just peel it down as you come to it." I haven't figured out how to peel it down, but my wife writes better than me anyway. So can you just put, in blue here. And we'll just put it. So the first word is the word offering. So in Hebrews 10, verse 14, it says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever." It's not a different offering every day of the week on an altar. I've showed people there was only one sacrifice for sin for all time. Only one. It's not like in masses every time. It doesn't. That doesn't take away sin. There's no blood. And the Bible says there was only one sacrifice. So it's in Romans it says that. It's in Peter it says that. It's in Hebrews many times it says that. So I have many black boxes around the word one. That there's this one offering for sin. There it happened. The next one, the substitute, the vicarious, well, what word did I have there? I had "in the stead of." You can write that. In the stead of. And this one is in 2 Corinthians 5:21, where it says like this, "For he hath made him," that he, God, "has made him," Jesus, "to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." So Jesus was made sin. See, he took our sin. That's why he was counted as a sinner at that point. He had our sin on him. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." That's where that trade again, that substitutionary vicarious transaction happened. He fulfilled it. Here's another verse that shows that. 1 Peter 3:18, it says, "The just for the unjust." Here's Jesus, the just one. Here's me, unjust, the sinner. The just for the unjust, that great trade. That's why he says, "Behold the Lamb." The sheep couldn't do that, but this Lamb could. That's the big thing. The next one, without blemish. Hebrews, you can put there, without blemish. Hebrews 4:15 says, "He was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin." Jesus was tempted to steal, to lust, to lie, and on, yet without sin. He's without blemish. Therefore, he's worthy to be the Lamb that can actually take away the sin. Not just cover it up under the rug, but actually take it away. The next two there, from a male and the first year are in the same verse, and it's in the Christmas account in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, where it says, "And Mary brought forth her firstborn." There it is. So it wasn't her second child or her third or her fourth. She did have other kids after Jesus. They are listed by name in Matthew 13, about verse 50, somewhere in there. And he had sisters as well. Those ones aren't listed. So when they sat around the table, there was a lot of people sitting around the table at mealtime. But this had to be the first in order to fit the requirement. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son. Son, huh? He's a male. Hey, yeah. Sometimes I hear of people trusting in a lady. It had to be the son. Had to be a male by God's design. And then the last one, answering nothing. You can put the word nothing there. And this is over and over and over. Reminds me of what was mentioned this morning in the previous sermon. If you hear it once in the Bible, this. If you hear it twice, if you hear it many times, listen to this. Mark chapter 1, verse 60 and 61. "Answerest thou nothing?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Did he fulfill Isaiah 53? Yes, to a T. Next chapter, Mark 15, verse 3. "But he answered nothing." Next verse, Mark 15, verse 4. "But Jesus yet answered nothing." Does he fit the bill? Perfectly, to a T. He gets to be the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. And he will be the triumphant one. Can I trade you colors? By way of introduction to the last third here. It is interesting to me. So as we go from the book of Genesis and we work our way through the Bible, there's 100 verses with the word lamb in it. You come up to the New Testament and you go from the New Testament all the way up to Revelation. There's only 4. We did 2 of them just now, verse 29 and verse 36. "Behold the Lamb of God which takes away the sin of the world," and "Behold the Lamb of God." And then there's one in Acts. Timothy and I went on that road where Philip went to go talk to the Ethiopian eunuch. It says, on the way to Gaza, we rented a car and we went down there. And there he saw the Ethiopian eunuch and said, "What, do you understand what you're reading?" And the guy says, "How can I, except somebody explain it to me?" And it was, "He is led as a lamb to the slaughter," and he opened his mouth. That was one of the verses. And the fourth verse in the New Testament is 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. "Redeemed from our old corrupt lifestyle with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." So there's all these verses. Then you come to the New Testament. There's only 4. And then all of a sudden, the last book of the Bible is like a big crescendo. The Lamb of God. He is there 28 times in one book. The triumphant Lamb of God. Will we look at all 28? No, we don't have time. It's already past 12. But let's look at a few of them. So the first one you can put worthy. Turn with me to the book of Revelation. We got to see this crescendo and this mighty climax, which is future to us. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book that is written on the backside." By the way, sometimes Native people tell me, "Oh, that's a white man's book." And I say, "No, it's not. It's a Middle Eastern book. In a white man's book, the title is here. And then the title page and the table of contents. And at the end, it says the end." But in the Jewish, when I opened up my Hebrew Bible, it's the other way. The title is on the back. And you start at the back and you have your title and your title page, table of contents. And then the end is over here. Why? It's a Hebrew book. And here it says, on the backside. On the backside. It's a Jewish book. He is a Jewish person. Jesus said in John chapter 4, "For salvation is of the Jews," because he was a Jew. "On the backside, sealed with 7 seals. And I saw," and you might wonder, what are those? I just had a birthday, and my wife, for my 65th birthday, gave me these. She also gave me a book that I'm reading to her. She gave me a couple of these posters from Friends of Israel. And here is what was in that book with the 7 seals. Here are the 7 seals, the 7 trumpets, and the 7 bowls. They're all depicted here. I find it just fascinating. Nobody could open it, though. Nobody. It says here, verse 2, "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals of it?' And no man in heaven or earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look in it. Nobody. And one of the elders said to me, verse 5, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, he has prevailed to open the book and to loose it." Verse 6, "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain." It's past tense. Jesus had died 2,000 years ago. We'll skip to verse 7. "And came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy." Can you write down worthy? Or you did already? You did write down worthy. "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals of it. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us unto God," which all those earthly lambs, those animal lambs could never do. "He did, has redeemed us by thy blood," not these lambs' blood, but thy blood, "out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." Often I tell people about your church. I like it that it's multicultural. Many people groups represented here. And I tell people, that's how it's going to be in heaven. Different people groups will be there, worshiping who? The Lamb of God who took away our sin. Wow, this is fantastic. The next one is worship. Can you write down worship? Verse 12, "saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive seven things." And that's the number, that's God's number, seven. We have 7 days in a week, and they marched seven times around Jericho, and seven times on the seventh day, and seven of many, many things in the Bible. Well, here's seven for the Lamb. Riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, blessing. "And every creature which was in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sits on the throne and unto the Lamb." For how long? Can you write down forever and ever? Forever and ever. All those who speak against Jesus and what he has proclaimed in his word and how he wants us to live, they will be vanquished. His glory and worship will be forever. "Behold the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world." He will have all this worship forever and ever and ever. Chapter 7, verse 17. So we'll jump quite a few chapters ahead. It says there, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and lead them unto living fountains." It reminds me so much of Psalm 23. "Lead them by the green pastures and still waters." He'll lead them and he'll feed them. We are beholding the Lamb. Those of us who have repented, we've acknowledged our sin, we're trusting in Jesus. We must help others who don't know. Look to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We must share with the rest this wondrous story of salvation free of charge to us, with a great price to pay for the Son of God, but free for us. He will lead and feed. You can put that there. He feeds and leads. And that's what he does. Just like I did to my animals when I farmed 10 years. I would take care of them. They didn't have to worry where food would come from, where there would be a pasture for. They didn't have to worry. I took care of that. Well, Jesus takes care of that for us. The next one you can write there, Evelyn, is enables to overcome. Turn to chapter 12, verse 11. Chapter 12, verse 11. "And they overcame him," that is the devil, "by the blood of the Lamb." If it wasn't for the blood of the Lamb, we couldn't be overcomers. And in Revelation, the first couple of books there, he's always talking to the seven churches about he that overcometh. He that overcometh to the overcomer. Why? Because of the Lamb. He enables us to overcome because of the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. I wonder what happens to those who reject. Just put rejection. Rejectors are tormented. Rejectors are tormented. Chapter 14, verse 11. Chapter 14, verse 11. It has just been speaking of the Lamb in verse 10. That's the last word in verse 10 is Lamb. "And the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image, and whoever receives the mark of his name. To those who say, no, we will not give you honor and glory and blessing. No, I want my own way. The Lord says there will be torment forever and ever. Well, the one side is worshiping forever and ever. The other side is torment forever and ever. They don't even get the night off. It says day and night, they will be tormented. What about believers? Would believers under that one? Believers are getting ready. Believers are getting ready. And that one I see in chapter 19, verse 7. So we're almost at the end of the Bible now. Chapter 19, verse 7. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is a time to get ready. This is the time to deal with sin. I'm supposed to be mentoring one of our field missionaries in Manitoba starting this month. And I thought it was to do on native ministry. And I said, yes, but you know what it is about? It's not about ministry. It's about his personal integrity, maturity in Christ. I am to mentor him in that for the next 3 years. Does that fit with this verse? We're getting ready. When people look at us, we should be have come along already. We should be people of maturity. We should be people of meat and be exercised, how it says in Hebrews, right? Not milk anymore, like I think it says in Peter. Not milk, but the meat. Let's be a bride for our groom that's getting ready for that great marriage supper of the Lamb who takes away the sin of the world. The second last chapter of the Bible, chapter 21, verse 23. Can you put light in capital letters? Light. So chapter 21, verse 27. So it's the last verse of that chapter. And there it says this. And there shall in no wise enter into heaven anything that defiles, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. That wasn't the verse I wanted. 23. And the city had no need of the sun, just like in creation. There was no sun on day one of creation, but there was light. I think the sun came on day four. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. In heaven, you won't have any switch like this. There won't be any bulb. You don't need even the sun. The Lamb of God will provide all the light that is needed forever and forever and forever. I'll close with a verse in the last chapter. Look at the last chapter of the Bible, verse 12. I have a red letter edition. And in the red letter edition, every word that Jesus spoke is in red print. So that's why I have red there. Jesus said in chapter 22, verse 12, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. You may sit down now. And I will give to every man according as his work shall be. The Bible says, by their fruits you shall know them. Some people say, well, I'm a believer. Are you? Have you trusted the Lamb? Have you acknowledged your sin and your complete helplessness? And that we must repent and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ for the salvation that he alone, as the Lamb of God, he's the only one that can provide that. He is our only hope. It's in Christ alone, like the song we were singing earlier today. He was typified in these animal lambs, small case. He was presented, this was the plan, this is where he was presented as the Lamb of God, and he came and fulfilled it to a T. And the last thing is, he is coming in power. The plan, the presentation, and the powerful Lamb of God. All those against him will be vanquished forever and forever and forever. And those who love him and surrender and embrace him and say, oh, Jesus, I just love you. Here's my life. You can have for all time and eternity. And Lord, I'm yours. And they will worship forever and ever and ever and will never get tired of it. Behold the Lamb of God. Lord, we bow before you. You sent your son as the Lamb of God. He said, oh, Lord, if this cup could pass from me, please let it pass from me, he said in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine. Lord, we want to say that to you today. Not my will, but thine. You are the Lamb triumphant. You are reigning in all your glory. You are called in the Word of God, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. All the armies of the earth will gather future to us to do battle against you and Israel, and you will win from the sword of your mouth. You will reign. You will be vindicated. So will your people. The martyrs that will have been slain in the great tribulation, the martyrs through history, Lord, there will be a bride radiant in white at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Truly, Lord, when John the Baptist said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," it was the fulcrum of the whole Bible right there. Thank you for sending us the Lamb of God to vicariously take our sin away in Jesus.